All right, appreciate that beautiful song. Open your Bibles to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter. And normally, on this Sunday, I would be doing something of a patriotic theme, since the birthday of America comes this week. But so I prayed this week, God wouldn't let me have any peace about doing that, and kept bringing me back here. So I believe that's where He wants us to be today. I am thankful for America. We're still the greatest country in the world. America needs a lot of help right now. This past week was very discouraging to me in the decisions that were made. But God's still on the throne. It's not over yet, and we're still praying for revival. But we're in Luke chapter 12. I'm going to begin at verse 13. We're going to read down through verse 21 in Luke chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there in front of you, and we would encourage you to use that. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. The Bible says there, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And let's pray. Now, Father, once again, we come before you as a needy people. We come before you asking that you would do a work in our midst here this morning, a work that only you can do. We believe in a group this size, there are no doubt unsaved people. Those are folks who have never made that decision to open their heart to Jesus Christ, to put their faith completely in Him for their salvation, to recognize Him as the one true only Savior and call upon Him as the Bible says one must, and receive Him as their personal Savior. And they have no assurance of heaven when they die. But we know this morning they can have that assurance. They can have salvation in Jesus Christ if they would simply come to Him. And we pray that by Your Holy Spirit, they will be convicted of their need and would respond and would come to Christ. We pray for believers here today. There are many truths here that You want us to see as Your people, that we would plug into our lives, that we would assimilate into our manner of living and our principles. And Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to be open. Open in our hearts to that which You want us to deal with, want us to see, want us to admit. Help me this morning. This is where You have brought us to, and I believe the message for today. And Lord, I cannot do this without You, and I need You. I ask for a filling, a moving, a direction, if you will, that unction of the Holy Spirit that I need. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We titled this, A Fool in God's Eyes. A Fool in God's Eyes. You know, it's a very sad thing for a person to develop a wrong perspective on life. But while it's a sad thing, it's a very easy thing to do. It's a very easy thing for a person to make here and now the emphasis of their life with little or no regard to eternal matters. Actually, when you think about it, that's how the vast majority of the people in our country are living today. Living for today, the emphasis on their life right now with no thoughts about eternity. In our text for today, we find the Lord Jesus Christ teaching once again. A great crowd has gathered now, and he speaks when all of a sudden a man in that crowd makes a request of Jesus. And he asked that Jesus would intervene in a dispute this man had with his brother over an inheritance. Jesus then seizes that opportunity and he uses that opportunity to drive home a warning on covetousness and the inordinate desire for the riches and things of this world. As was his way oftentimes, Jesus then offers a parable. Parable, an earthly story with a heavenly application to teach this truth, to drive home this truth to the people who were there. In the parable, Jesus tells of a rich man who suddenly became richer. His crops yielded abundantly. And now he reasons that he will build bigger barns and lay up a great store in them and live a life of ease. Not a bad plan. Except for one thing. He failed to consider eternity. He failed to give any consideration to God or eternal matters. And God calls him, God says, "Thou fool." Now, probably all of us have at one time or another been called a fool by someone. But this man was called a fool by God himself. In God's eyes, this man's actions were that of a fool. This morning, I want you to know, I don't want to be considered a fool in God's eyes. You know, men can say they want what they want about me. But I don't want God to classify me as a fool in His estimation. And I would hope that each of us in this room would have that same feeling, that same idea. So this morning I want to share with you from this parable some characteristics of a person who is a fool in God's eyes. And as we see these, we then must be sure that these are not characteristics that we find in our lives, lest we be classified as fools by God. And so look at these things and I want you to notice, first of all, the foolish man focuses on his prosperity. The foolish man focuses on his prosperity. In verses 16 through 18, we read this, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Now, it's interesting, this was a rich man who became richer. He was a man who was already blessed with wealth. And let me stop right there and say this. You know, it is not sinful or wrong to be wealthy, to be rich. We find many good godly men in the Bible who were well-to-do. Nothing in Jesus' parable condemns this man for being a rich man. But being rich becomes sinful when wealth becomes the ruling force of someone's life. Paul wrote that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money. It's the love of it. And so it's not the riches, it's the love of them. So we have a rich man who became richer. His ground or his farm yielded far more than he expected. He had a bumper crop. And so he has to decide what he's going to do. We see that the rich man became richer and he sought to lay up his treasure for himself. It's interesting that as we read what his thought pattern is, his motives here are purely selfish. Notice he didn't say, well, you know, I've got an abundance. Let me see if I can help somebody else who's less fortunate than I am. Obviously, he had plenty. His plans were purely personal. Isn't it interesting? We didn't find any reference to him asking the Lord what the Lord would want him to do. And then the third thing about this, he apparently gloried in his own abilities here as we don't find him giving God any praise or glory for the bumper crop. You see, we know that it was only by God's goodness and God's grace that he was blessed with such a bounty. If God hadn't sent the rain, if God hadn't sent the sunshine, if God perhaps would have not held back his hand from the locusts or whatever, this man would have had nothing. But he never gives one word of testimony of praise for the Lord. Gave God no acknowledgement. No doubt, he saw the success of all of his own doing. Man, did I do a great job. I planned that just right. I planted at the right time. I hoed the rows at the right time and fertilized at the right time and irrigated at the right time. I did everything right. And you figured out you can do everything right, and if God's not in it, you can still flop flat on your face. Absolutely no recognition of God. If you'll look in those two verses, you'll find that he uses the word, I and my, 8 different times, 4 each. It was all about me. It was all about himself. We're seeing the characteristics of a foolish man. By the way, somebody once said a hog never looks up from the trough to see his provider. Think about that for a little while. And then we notice that this rich man now invested himself totally in his riches. Now he has to tear down his old barns. He has barns, but now he's got to tear them down and build new barns. And that means this great new wealth that he has is going to consume his time and his energy, everything about him. And you know, that brings me to this. When you find somebody who has set their minds and hearts on wealth, wealth is then going to lead their life and control them. That's what happened with this guy. Now it's all about, hey, I've got a lot of wealth. I've got to take care of it. And somebody said this, wealth doesn't bring happiness. In most instances, it brings more trials and troubles and difficulties and all along with it. And this man's an example. Here he was doing well, and he had barns, and he had everything. He gets a bumper crop. He gets more wealth. Now he has to build new barns. Now he has to store more. Now he has to have more laborers. Now it just goes along with him. And see, in God's eyes, those who will focus on their prosperity are fools. When we're blessed by God materially, we need to give him the praise and give him the glory. Not focus on what we did, not focus on what we have, but focus on where did it come from. And when God prospers us, we ought to be willing to share with other people who need help. So many people just trying to hoard it all and hoard it all and hoard it all. And we're going to get to this. For what? They're going to leave it behind. People out there are hurting and in need, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we can help somebody, we're supposed to help them. And when God prospers us, we need to keep our priorities right. So many people are controlled by their possessions. So many people, you know, well, I have this and I have this and I have this and I have this. I have to take care of this and this and this, and there's no time for God. We need to avoid being fools in God's eyes. Number one, the foolish man focuses on his prosperity. Number two, the foolish man focuses on a presumed future. Very interesting, verse 19. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it's interesting, this guy presumed he had a future. See, he's automatically just assuming he has many more years to live. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He was giving no thought to the frailness of life. He was totally consumed and focused on living with no thought of ever dying. Now, I don't believe we need to walk around every day saying, boy, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But we need to live a life with the understanding we're not going to live forever. We're only in this life for a short period of time. Then we're going to spend eternity somewhere. If you're saved, you get to spend it in heaven. Here's a guy, watch this. He is busy investing in a tomorrow he would never see. As I read this, I think this, I don't see this as being an aged man. I kind of put him at middle age maybe. Because he says he has many more years. So I'm thinking he's not that old. And he's looking like, I got a lot of years ahead of me yet. And he was probably in good health. Nothing said there about his being sick or anything of that nature. Everything was good and going well for him. Why would he even think about dying? Because we're all going to die one day. It's a reality that we should be dealing with. You see, I find that today there are a lot of people who are counting on a presumed future. When I say that, I'm talking about this. They live like they're going to live forever. How many people, when you encounter them and you say, if you were to die today, do you know you're going to heaven? And they look at you kind of funny like, I'm not planning on dying today. Well, I hope not. We don't get up every morning and say, well, I think I might die today. But it's possible. But see, most people are not even willing to consider it. I've said many times in America, we're trying to hide death and do away with death and eliminate death. Have you figured that out yet? Death is a very real part of human life. The point of all men wants to die. So no matter what we ever do, people are going to die. You agree? Alright, so now we look and we got all these rules and laws and things made because people are dying. Have you figured that out yet? And I'm all for safety and all that kind of thing and preventing dying. But friend, we can't prevent all the deaths. But we passed these laws. You know, recently they had those little baby seats that were supposed to be put on a floor. And apparently people were abusing them, putting them on a table. A couple babies fell out and died. I feel bad about that. But now they pass a law. You know, you can't have that. The asbestos laws. And I know, you know, they should cut back on the asbestos and all that. But they made laws that in our schools we have to have all these inspections and all this red tape and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because some people died of asbestos. Well, people are going to die. We're never going to eliminate death. Cribs, baby cribs. If you have an old-style crib, you know you can't sell it. I don't think you're even allowed to give it away. The ones with the slats and the up and down... That our kids were raised in. Yeah. But they outlawed them. Why? Because somehow a couple of babies died, and they said, hey, a couple of people died here. Now, we can't have death. We've got to eliminate this. See, man don't want to face it. Go to a funeral. They have a viewing. Have you ever noticed at the viewing? They always make that person look lifelike. Yeah. Don't he look good? Why do they look so natural? You know why they do that? Because man don't like to face death. They have all those right colored whites, you know, to make the skin tones and all that, and they put the flowers all around. You know what all that's about? To keep your attention away from death. Because we don't want to face it. This man was that way. He wasn't thinking about death. He wasn't paying any attention to the fact that one day he was going to die. People today lay plans, make preparations for the future, like the future is guaranteed. But you know, God's Word says there's no certainty of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, don't get the wrong idea. There is wisdom in preparing for the future. We read about the ant, how the ant prepared, and you know, the grasshopper didn't. And we read about the slothful who don't make preparation when he should. But the fool hangs on to all his wealth, thinking he's going to have tomorrow to enjoy it. I think about how many people, and you've all seen the examples, people who have lived frugal lives. I'm thinking of a fellow right now. I mean, the guy was probably a millionaire. But he lived one of the most frugal lives you could imagine. He wouldn't spend a nickel. And they're thinking about, you know, I got to hang on to this. I got to hang on to this because of tomorrow, because I might need this. I might need this. And ended up dying. Leaving it all behind because they thought they had a lot more days. The foolish man focuses on his prosperity, and the foolish man focuses on a presumed future. And the foolish man fails to prepare for eternity. In verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? This rich man invested everything he had in things of this life. He was all about farming. He was all about his business. New and bigger barns and all that went with it. He was about amassing more material wealth. He was all about being able to live in luxury and ease. Gave no thought to eternal matters. No acknowledgement of God. We said that. No mention of service for God. No idea of any sacrifice for the Lord. God and eternity were not a part of his thinking. Having to stand before the Almighty Judge one day didn't have any effect on him. It was all about here and now. He was so busy preparing for tomorrow, he failed to prepare for eternity. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. He was concerned about tomorrow, but he wasn't concerned about eternity. How many people are like that today? They're concerned about their IRA, and they're concerned about their retirements, and they're concerned about laying up in the stock market and that kind of thing for tomorrow, but they're giving no thought to one day, I'm going to spend my eternity somewhere. And for Christians, one day I'm going to spend my eternity with the Lord, and I'm going to have to answer to Him one day. Foolish man made no preparation. And many today make no preparation for eternity. I thought about the unsaved who ignore the need to get saved. You confront people with the question, if you died today, and you know, they're not interested. Do you know the Bible says there's a way you can know you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know there is only one way? They're not interested. Matter of fact, a lot of them get hostile. They don't want to make any preparation for eternity. When we start talking about making preparation for eternity, it kind of puts a stick in the spokes of their life for now. You know, well, wait a minute. You know, I'd have to change some things. Yeah. You tell people, you know, the Bible says, oh, right there, they don't want to hear anymore. I don't hear anything about that Bible. Well, one day this book's going to judge everybody. People today ignore the need to get saved. They refuse to admit they need Christ. How many times do we hear this? No thanks, I got my own religion. And we try to tell them it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Listen, when we die and we face God, He's not going to ask what religion were you. That's not the question. The question is, did you know my Son as your Savior? Did you receive Christ? Have you been born again? So many. Oh, we're doing okay. We're okay where we are. I remember a fellow I worked with was a millwright, big old fellow, Fred. And a jolly type guy. He reminded me of Hoss on Bonanza. Remember him? He was that size, you know. And one summer, Fred and his wife bought a van. I'm not picking on Fords. It was a Ford van. And they had a family. They bought this Ford van. And they actually bought it from another guy we worked with. He had bought it, kept it a few months, didn't want it anymore, sold it to Fred. And they were very happy with this new van. I came into work one Monday, and they said, "Did you hear about Fred?" I said, "What happened to Fred?" Well, he and his wife were out partying on Saturday night. They're on Big Oak Road out there in Lower Makefield, and it's a twisty-turny road, and he missed a turn, went off the road, went right into a tree. Well, you know, in a van, not a whole lot in front of you. They were both in the hospital. I said, "Well, how's he doing?" They said, "Well, he's doing pretty good. He's busted up, so is his wife. You know, they said he's probably going to, everything's going to be okay. He has a broken leg. They haven't said it yet. They're going to have to do surgery to fix his leg." I said, "Oh." So when I went home, I got a hold of Pastor Fidena, and I said, "Pastor, there's a guy in the hospital down there. You think somebody could run down and see him?" Told him what happened. He said, "Yeah, I'll have one of the deacons go." Fellow went. He came back and he called me. He said, "Hey," he said, "I went and talked to that fellow Fred." He said, "But he wasn't interested. There was a bunch of people in there from work and all, you know, and they were laughing and carrying on. And I tried to talk to him about the Lord. And he said this to me. He said, 'Hey, no thanks. We're okay.'" Those were his words. "We're okay." So the deacon left, you know. The next day they took Freddie in to do an operation on his leg. Fix a broken leg. When he got done the surgery, apparently a blood clot let loose, went to his heart and killed him. Within a day, he was dead. I never forgot when that guy told me, he said, "We're okay." He was anything but okay. And he turned down the last opportunity he had to get okay. Because he wasn't concerned. Ignoring the need to get saved. So many are trusting in other things and are... It's a shame. But then, I want you to understand this. It's not just the unsaved who fail to prepare for eternity, it's the carnal Christian as well. The Christian who's living for this world and not the things of the Lord. It's Jesus who said we're to lay up treasures in heaven. Where the rust doth not corrupt and the moth doth not eat, you know, all that. And we're so busy laying up our treasures here, we're not thinking about laying up treasures there. We're so busy about the things of this world, we're not busy about the things of eternity. And carnal Christians are living for this world rather than for God. That's what carnal is all about. You know, every believer is going to give an account of their stewardship of everything God's placed in our hands. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember the parable of the stewards? How he gave some 10 talents and some 5 and some less? And the 2 that invested and made more of the talents he rewarded, but the one who just stuck it in the ground and hid it, he took it from him. There's an accountability. He said, when he gave the talents, he said, occupy it till I come. And what that was is the owner is going away and he entrusts everything of his to those who are going to take care of it. And he's, what he's saying is, I'm coming back. There'll be an accounting when I get back. He's coming back. We have an accountability. And the foolish man, the foolish Christian is the one who's not living with that accountability in view. One day I'm going to die, and one day I'm going to have to stand before Him. And then finally, the foolish man fails to perceive that death all is left behind. Look at this verse, 20, the latter part. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This man wasn't given any thought to the fact that when I die, I'm going to leave it all here. He was trying to get all he could and amass all he could. He didn't think, well, tonight's going to be the night. My soul will be required of me, and I'm going to take nothing with me. Job says we came into this world naked, we're going out the same way. The rich man would leave all he labored for somebody else to enjoy. He planted all the crops and he had this great abundance, and all his life he has been focused on building up all this wealth, and boy, he gave himself to it. That was the thrust of his life, building, amassing my wealth. Now I got it! God says, you fool. You've invested your whole life in building that wealth, and tonight your soul's going to be required of you, and you're going to leave it all behind. Not only that, you're going to leave it to somebody else. Go to Ecclesiastes for a minute. I want you to see something. If you can find that, you don't have to spell it, but if you can find it. Ecclesiastes. Wisest man to ever live, Solomon, said this in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18. That's what Solomon said. Yea, I hated my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it under the man that shall be after me. He's at the end of his life and he's saying, boy, I hate everything I just spent my whole life building, because I'm going to leave it to somebody. Look what else he says in 19. I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. How many times have we heard about the parents who labored and worked and built something up and amassed something and left it to their kids, and their kids blew it all? You know, that's biblical. Not that they should practice a biblical, but the Bible says over and over again that's what's going to happen. When we get wealth that we didn't work for, we blow it. And when an inheritance comes like that, I've seen so many people go through that, like water. This guy didn't perceive that. He's thinking, man, I'm going to lay all this up and I'm going to enjoy all this. And God says, no, you're a fool. You're not going to enjoy any of it. You've worked for it. You've labored. You've invested yourself in all this stuff. And you're going to leave it all behind. And somebody else is going to have control of it. And probably waste it. Somebody said, men sacrifice all legitimate pleasures and their deeper spiritual interests to make money, then die suddenly, leaving their hard-earned gains to be dissipated by idolent, pleasure-loving children. Who could say it any better? Many today are wasting their lives on the things of this world, and it's all going to be left behind. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. One more thing in that passage there. Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Somebody said this. What does it mean to be rich toward God? It means to acknowledge gratefully that everything we have comes from God and then make an effort to use what He gives us for the good of others and the glory of God. To be rich toward God means spiritual enrichment, not just personal enjoyment. How tragic when people are rich in this world and poor in the next. Thou fool. I don't ever want to hear those words from God. I can't imagine looking Jesus in the face and Him having to say, thou fool. Friend, we've seen the traits, the characteristics of the foolish man. We better make sure we don't have these characteristics in our life. The rich man here was focused, the foolish man, on wealth and ease of life. He gave no thought to eternal matters. Let me ask you this question. Do you give thought to eternal matters in your life? Or are you all about this world? Are you thinking about laying up treasures in heaven? Are you all about trying to build up a big bank account? Or portfolio? Or have a lot of things? Who's in control of your life? Is God in control of your life or things in control of your life? Foolish man fails to see. We'll leave it all behind. A fool in God's eyes. I wouldn't dare call anybody in this room a fool. Wouldn't want to do that. That's offensive. But friend, today, would God classify you a fool? If you faced Him today, would He classify you as a fool? Well, I hope not. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This man was all about this world, his wealth, getting more, having more, laying it up so he could enjoy the many days he would have left, days he didn't have.